Wow, what an honor it is for me to be standing over here. Just a few years ago, I was sitting where you were sitting, learning night seder in this Beis Medrash, and now it's chus to be back here for Sichas Musar. Rishus my father, Shlita, the Rabbanim, Moira Verabaisa. You know, on the way here, I got into an Uber, and he turns on not just the Uber navigation system, but also the Israeli navigation system, Waze. I asked him which one is better. He tells me everyone knows the Israelis provide the better stuff. So how does the navigation system work? Very simply, you have to put in where you want to go. It calculates automatically where you're at. But you need to put in where you're trying to get, and then it shows you the best way to get to your destination. My simple question is, what is the navigation system of life, of our life? What are we plugging into the system? And even once we know what we're plugging in, how do we get there? So we know we have the Shalosh Regalim. What's the name for a regel? It's called a chag. It's called a yontiv. A regel. It's also called a moed. Moed, Rav Hirsch explains, comes from the word va'ad. Moed means time, but it also means va'ad, which is a gathering. But it also comes from the root word ya'ad, which means destination. When you land in Ben-Gurion Airport, the Lala speaker system, ze'ata iganu el ya'ad. We have now reached our final destination. So the mo'adim is the navigation system of reaching our destination, which is why they're also called regalim, because you reach your destination with your raglaim, with your feet, walking in that direction. It's true on a personal level, but it's also true on a national level. Let's take a look. The first regal is Pesach. So many times we feel like we're stuck. We're stuck in a bad relationship, with a bad roommate, in a terrible class, whatever it is that we're stuck in. I'm stuck. I have certain things that I need to break free from. Am Yisrael sometimes is stuck. We were stuck in Mitzrayim. The first step is you have to break free from whatever is holding you back. You have to have the kelim to break free. But even once you break free, it's not enough. Okay, you're no longer in that bad relationship. You've broken free. But now what are you living for? That's why Pesach doesn't exist by itself, but rather it's attached to Shavuos. Because it's not enough. A person can break out of jail, can be let free after many years, but then what happens after a few months go by, a few years go by, he finds himself that he's stuck. Many of them end up going back to jail. That's why breaking free is not enough, but you need to understand that we have a value system, which are the core values of Judaism, which is the Torah that we're learning right now, that we got at Har Sinai. We need to build a society based on these values. Where are we going to build that society? On a personal level and on a national level. Where do we build it? We build it, number one, on a personal level in our home, which is represented by the holiday of Sukkot. It's a little house, a Mishkan Me'at that we build, that in Mirtz Hashem, each and every one of us will be zocheh to build. And on a national level, the other mitzvah that we have, that you live inside the mitzvah, besides Sukkot, what mitzvah is that? Mitzvah's Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. On a national level, we build that society that is based on those values in Eretz Yisrael. That is our destination. On a personal level, to build a home based on those values, and on a national level, to build it in Eretz Yisrael. That's why in this week's Parsha, when we have the first Jew is making the first kinyan, the first acquisition in Eretz Yisrael, when Avram Avinu needs to buy Maris HaMachpelah, from there we learn the acquisition of a bayis, of a home. Kicha kicha mizdei Ephron. To learn how to acquire your home is learned from the acquisition of Eretz Yisrael, because building a home for yourself and building a home for Am Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael, they're tied hand in hand, one in the other. So I want to explore, what did it take for Avram to get to that point? What did Avram and Sarah have to go through until they could finally make a kinyan in Eretz Yisrael? And it's also a lesson for our personal lives. What does it take for us to make it for a kinyan, to build our own bayis naman b'Yisrael? I remember in yeshiva, these were the... This parsha was the parsha every Rosh Yeshiva would give a vad on Shidduchim. They still do it. This is it. This is like the exciting times. How do we do it? How do I build it? Whether you just came back from Eretz Yisrael or you're here already 4 years, it's always exciting. Parshas Chayisar. What's the exciting? So I want to explore two, maybe three ideas, trying to understand what Avraham Avinu had to go through. We go back to the beginning. The beginning, the first journey, the first nisayon, according to some Rishonim of Avraham Avinu, was what? Lech lecha me'artzecha. Leave your land. What was the nisayon in that? Was that really a nisayon? Lech lecha me'artzecha. La'anascha, letovascha. Over here, people are trying to kill you. Over there, you're going to be safe. Over here, you have no children. Over there, you're going to have children. Over here, you have no money. Over there, you're going to have money. You need a Kodesh Baruch Hu to tell you to go there in order to want to go there. Over here, there's anti-Semitism. Over here, it's terrible. Here, you can't make it. Over there, it's going to be great. Well, it's the big Nisayon. Why is that considered a Nisayon for Avraham Avinu to go to Eretz Yisrael? What was so special about it? And if you think about it even more, when was the first time that Avraham Avinu made his way to Eretz Yisrael? How old was Avraham Avinu at that time? How old was he? Mefirsha Pasuk, the next Pasuk. 75 years old. Was that the first time that Avraham Avinu was in Eretz Yisrael? When I was in Kita Aleph, that's what they taught me. But if you look at the Psukim in Shmos, Umoshav Bnei Yisrael in Mitzrayim was how many years? Was 430 years. That's what the Pasuk says. What's Pshat 430 years? So the Gemara explains to us, Rashi brings it down. 400 years is from when? It's from when Yitzchak was born. How old was Avraham Avinu when Yitzchak was born? He was 100 years old. 430 years was from Bris Bein HaBesarim. So how old was Avraham Avinu during the Bris Bein HaBesarim? He was 70 years old. Which means that Avraham Avinu was in Eretz Yisrael when he was 70 years old and had a Bris Bein HaBesarim, the covenant. Split the animals. Did you ever think about that? What's Pshat? Avraham Avinu was in Eretz Yisrael. He's 70 years old, has a Bris Bein HaBesarim. Kadosh Baruch Hu tells him, promises him, I'm going to give you this land. It's going to be to you, to your children. And then Avraham Avinu leaves Eretz Yisrael for some reason. And then when he's 75, he gets the nevuah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, Lech lecha me'artzecha me'odasecha ve'esavicha la'aretz asher araka. What happened during those 5 years? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell him to leave? And now he's telling him to come back. What's going on? So the Sefer Charedim asks this. Tosfos in Brachos asks this. And they all say that Avraham Avinu actually entered Eretz Yisrael when he was 70 years old. Avraham Avinu was on a journey. He felt it towards Eretz Yisrael already when he was younger. Terach already started walking towards Eretz Canaan and stopped in the way. Avraham Avinu continued. He made it, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises him, you're going to have this land. But then HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, you have to leave. And he doesn't tell him when he's going to come back. And that leaves Avraham Avinu waiting. When will I be zochet to come to Eretz Yisrael? It's true also on a national level, and it's true on a personal level. Rav Chaim Vital says, if you look at the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, it says, Asara nisyonot nitnasa Avraham Avinu ve'amad bekulam. The Mishnah beforehand also quotes Avraham Avinu, Asara doros minoach ve'ad Avraham, and he doesn't call him Avraham Avinu. Why is he called Avraham Avinu by the nisyonos? Says Rav Chaim Vital, he's called Avraham Avinu because every nisyon that he went through, he embedded it in our DNA. Somebody's called an Av, a father, because he inherits certain attributes to his children. So Avraham Avinu had a sar nisyonos because he had a nisyon, which means that we inherited certain attributes so that we could withstand those nisyonos as well. The nisyon of Avraham Avinu was waiting, when will I be able to come to Eretz Yisrael, and not knowing when. on a national level, we left Eretz Yisrael after having the first Beis HaMikdash. And then again after the second Beis HaMikdash. And you can imagine, people were sitting there, singing Lashon HaBa B'Yerushalayim Abnuya. 50 years went by, okay, the grandfather still remembers it. 100 years go by, 500 years go by. But they still had the ishtokikos of when will I be able to go to Eretz Yisrael. On a personal level, many of us, if not all of us, were zocha to learn a year in Eretz Yisrael. Maybe 2 years in Eretz Yisrael. When will I be zocha to go back? Do you ever have that feeling? Will I be zocha to go back? What will my parents say? What about the 5-year plan? What about shidduchim? That uncertainty of when will I be able to go back is the nisayon that Avraham Avinu had to stand. And it is a nisayon that we have to stand. And it's, by the way, a nisayon of building our own bias with our second half. Because we know that our neshamas were one and then they were separated. And now we don't know when we will find the second half. But there is a ishtokikus for it. That's the first shlav that Avraham Avinu had to withstand. And then once they come into Eretz Yisrael, once he gets the call of Lech Lecha, then everything seems to fall on top of them. It's going to be great. It wasn't that great. There's a famine. There's a Rav Baretz. There's a war. There's a Milchama. They take away his wife. But yet, this week's Parsha, Sarah, Elu Shnei Chayei Sarah, says Rashi, Kulan Shavim Letova. They're all great. How are they all great? She had so many tragedies. Because Sarah taught us the second lesson of how to build our home and how to be zochet to get to Eretz Yisrael despite all of the challenges. Another pigua today. Despite all of the challenges, Sarah and Jewish mothers have taught us the lesson of how to look with the right perspective at what's going on. A mother is about to have a child. It's terrible pain, but she's looking at the bigger picture. I'm going to bring a child into the world. Sarah gets kidnapped. There's a famine. She doesn't complain. She understands that every nisayon that she's going through, she's planting a seed for Am Yisrael for generations to come. The yesod of getting Eretz Yisrael and the yesod of building our home is learning how to look with the right glasses. At the end of the parsha, we have two people who are looking at the same person, the same situation, and they're looking at it entirely different. Eliezer Eved Avram is coming down to find a wife for Yitzchak. Who sees him first? Rivka. What does she see? She sees a person who needs help. How could I help you? Can I give you water for your camels? Can I help you out? An hour later, her brother sees him. Lavan. What does Lavan see? The same person. What does he see? An opportunity to get rich. What can I get out of this person? Hug him. Kiss him. He's coming from Avraham Avinu's house. What can I get out of him? Two people can look at the same thing. The Imos HaKadoshas taught us. You want to build your house? You want to build Eretz Yisrael? You have to always be looking with a positive eye in the bigger picture. What I could do for other people. And Avraham Avinu, he taught us achrayus, responsibility. Already in Sefer Bereshis, Adam HaRishon is created. He has his first mitzvah to eat, to enjoy. The first losaseh is do not eat from the Eitz Hadas. The moment he eats, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking for them. Hayeka, where are you? Why did Adam and Chava get kicked out of Gan Eden? Why? Is it because they ate from the Eitz Hadas? It's not because they ate from the Eitz Hadas. If it would have been because they ate from the Eitz Hadas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if I tell my child, do not play ball in the living room, you might break one of the glass vases. And he plays ball in the living room, and he breaks one of the vases. It might have happened to some of you over here with your parents. You play ball. You broke something. What's our parents' first reaction?
I just told you an hour ago not to play. I can't believe you broke it. Go to your room. There's no conversation. They were just told not to play. They were just told not to eat. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets into conversation with others. Where are you? Hamina eats? Were you playing ball? Did you eat from the tree that I told you not to eat? And then what's Adam's response? She told me. It's her fault. Chava, the snake, told me. That's when they get kicked out of Gan Eden. When you do not take responsibility for your mistakes, Adam HaRishon does not take personal responsibility. Cain, the next story, kills his brother. Hashomer Achi Anochi doesn't take responsibility for his family. Noach doesn't take responsibility for the world. Comes Avram Avinu, the first Jew, and teaches us what does it mean to be a Yid. He takes responsibility for himself. He takes responsibility for his family. He brings Lot along. Es ha-nefesh asher asu b'charon. And he takes responsibility for the world by davening for the people of Sdom who are Rishayim. How can I bring them to be a part of the Jewish people? If we want to be zochet to Eretz Yisrael, if we want to be zochet to build our own personal family, our own family with our wives, we need to learn to look at the right lens. What can I do to help the other person in Eretz Yisrael, in yeshiva, at home, and to take responsibility for my own actions, responsibility for my family, and responsibility for Am Yisrael. This yeshiva and the Chavrei HaYeshiva that are learning in this Beis Medrash right now have the opportunity to change Am Yisrael. I'm not saying this lightly. I've learned in different Batei Medrash. I've learned in America and in Eretz Yisrael. I believe that the Talmidim of this yeshiva, more than any other yeshiva in the world, have the opportunity of bringing Am Yisrael to its final destination in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz La'aretz. The people who came out of this Beis Medrash, and I work so much with secular Israelis, there's a certain connection that they can make that other people don't have. Your ability to be able to be shakua in the Beis Medrash, to be learning Gemara, to be learning the sugis, but yet to have a degree and to be successful in life, to be sitting on the bridge when you're going to go out to work between people who are learning, that you could talk to people that are learning in Neri Yisrael and in Lakewood and in Brisk, and you could talk to people who have never been in a Beis Medrash before in their lives, and you know exactly what baseball games they're talking about and business they're talking about. You could have two totally separate conversations with different crowds that not many people could have. But are we taking personal responsibility? Are we taking national responsibility? Or are we only thinking about our own career advancement? Are we only, when I see another Jew, am I looking at the eyes of Lavan? What could I get out of it? Or am I looking with the eyes of Rivka, of what could I do to help him? What are his needs? When I think about taking responsibility, am I only thinking about myself, or am I thinking about the rest of Am Yisrael? There's a big responsibility if you're in this Beis Medrash right now, because it means that you're taking your yeshiva seriously, and you're most probably a person who takes his college education seriously as well. And that's a tremendous achrayus. Because you could do things that not many people could do. And it really starts right now. Before Avraham Avinu was zochet to get Eretz Yisrael, he had some practice. How do I know? Because he brought with him et ha-nefesh asher asu b'charan. He reached out to other people even before he made his way to Eretz Yisrael. You're here in yeshiva. So many opportunities to reach out and to think about another Jew that is beyond us. What does he need? And it's going to affect your whole outlook into the type of Jewish life that you build and the type of home that you build. And trust me, it does not take more than 20 minutes a week. Is there a student in this yeshiva that has never stepped foot in this Beis Medrash that you know from your class, that you know from playing basketball with him in the gym? Was he ever invited with you once a week to come learn with you for 20 minutes? And maybe the first month you spend those 20 minutes not even inviting him to come into the Beis Medrash, but just talking to him and building a relationship with him. And you don't have to go far because he's here in the yeshiva with you. He's in the class with you. If we're able to train ourselves to look beyond my Dalet Amos, beyond my chevra that came with me to yeshiva. So I have my clique that came with me to Shalavim, to KBY, to the Gush, whatever yeshiva. So I have that initial clique. And then I have the next clique, which is my shir right now. But beyond that, one YU Talmud who's not in the Beis Medrash right now. And you know what? He's not going to come for any Sichas Musar, but he's going to come for you. Because you're a geshmak. Because you get him. Because you play ball with him or because you are sitting with him in class. He's not coming for anybody else. It's EF Shervidei Acherim. And it's your achrayus to do it. That's where it starts. The journey to our destiny, to our yaad, to our mission of building our personal home and to building a home for Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael starts here in yeshiva. If you're able to do it with one Talmud here during one semester, you will see it will change who you are. It will change the type of husband you're going to be. It will change your desire to come closer to Eretz Yisrael. It will change the way you will be impacting Eretz Yisrael when you move to Eretz Yisrael one day. Because you will be a person who's taking responsibility for another Jew. You'll be a person who is looking with the eyes that are positive, that are seeing the good in another Jew. And that hishtokikus of wanting to go back to Eretz Yisrael, of reaching our destiny, will be fulfilled. And we'll be zocha to bring Am Yisrael together. We'll be zocha to build our own homes and our own communities. That eventually doesn't mean that we're all making aliyah tomorrow. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the taking that personal responsibility for our own homes and communities. That itself is already bringing us one step closer so that we could create that perfect society in Eretz Yisrael. B'mehera b'ameinu, and seeing the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, b'mehera b'ameinu, amen.